I have a secret.
Uh-huh.
I use Secret Whole Body Deodorant because more than just my armpits stink.
Oh, can I use it where my bra rubs under my...
Oh, yeah.
And what about down there? You know, my...
Totally. 4 out of 5 gynecologists would recommend it. So I tried it, and now I get 72 hours of freshness from my pits to my...
Ooh, I love that it's a spray.
Me too. And it comes in sticks and creams too. Go get your Secret Whole Body Deodorant.
Welcome, everybody, into the ESPN FC studios for this, the latest edition of the show. Alongside Craig Burley, Casey Keller, I'm Sebastian Salazar. Great to have you with us. Lots to get to here on ESPN FC, including a continued discussion on the handball, or was it not a handball, with Gabriel and Arsenal. Yeah, day 4 of that. But we'll start at the top of the Premier League, where it's a 3-horse race. Arsenal, Liverpool, even on points. Arsenal with the advantage on goal difference. City 1 point back with 7 games to go. All 3 at home this weekend. Arsenal home against Villa on Sunday. Liverpool home against Crystal Palace on Sunday. City home against Luton Town on Saturday. For more on this, let's welcome in our very own former Arsenal player. He is, of course, Kieran Gibbs. Kieran, great to have you with us. How confident are you that we're going to get Premier League Arsenal Sunday against Aston Villa as opposed to Champions League Arsenal that we saw against Bayern Munich?
I'm pretty confident. I mean, listen, as good as Aston Villa have been and can be, it's just really difficult to see anything other than 3 points for Arsenal at the minute in the league. They are really in the zone. They got a firm grip on their form. Villa have come off the boil a little bit as well. They're going to miss big players, Douglas Luiz, Kamara. You know, I do think Watkins and I think McGinn's back as well, which is a plus for Villa. They love these type of games where they can cause upset and stir up some trouble. And of course, Emre will be gunning to get a result. And obviously, you know, by no means it's going to be easy, but I think Arsenal are just in a certain type of mood at the moment. With 7 games to go, they've only conceded 4 goals in 11 games. Villa have had less rest. And, you know, I feel like playing last this weekend will benefit them as well, because there's probably a good chance that they'll be third going into the game. And I like them in that position where they're chasing the leaders. So I'm pretty confident.
What's the biggest worry, Craig, for Arsenal Sunday against Villa?
Sloppiness. Maybe a bit we saw in the Bayern game and in the 2 games against Porto. Maybe taking the foot off the gas a little bit, which I can't see happening. But other than that, you know, Villa were 2-0 up at home to Brentford and then had to battle back after being, I think, 3-2 down. They got walloped off Man City at the Etihad, albeit they made some changes in that game. So they have been a little bit off colour recently. They're in a big fight with Tottenham for this 4th spot. Look, 5th might get it done, but who cares? They're battling for 4th. And as Kieran said, Arsenal have been, Premier League-wise, have been great. Been rock solid. Defensively have been solid. You know, they've got the balance right in the middle of the park. The front guys have hit a bit of form. Again, he's been able to make some changes, whether it be Gabriel Jesus playing or Martinelli playing or Trossard coming in or Smith-Rowe coming in. He's been able to make those changes. So barring the pressure getting to them, we're at that stage of the season. There is a big opportunity here to get over another big hurdle, because that's where we're at. We were just talking before we came on air about the Championship in Leicester City. They were almost having the open top bus in January and February. The league was done, 10 points plus clear, and now they can't win a game because it's the business end of the season, and that's where Arsenal are. Let's see if they learn from it from last year.
That's the big question.
They haven't got the injuries that they had last year. Don't forget they lost Saliba. Yep. Alexa Rob Holding came in and Partey was out. They don't have those injuries thus far. So they are primed and ready for this run-in.
Why the difference, Casey, between what we've seen from Arsenal in the Premier League and what we saw in the Champions League against Bayern? And does it have any effect come Sunday?
I think I agree with the hangover side of things. That yes, that was a tough match in Champions League against a side that is having their own issues, obviously. But I think good teams can find ways to
Compartmentalize.
No, I never go there.
Easy for you to say.
I never go there.
But to be able to say, okay, this is the form, the confidence, particularly at home against a side that is struggling in Aston Villa, not struggling, but isn't at the form that they were in at the beginning of the season. Now, the issue is, I agree, I think it could be also a case where you're overlooking this. You're thinking, okay, we had a little bit of a blip in Champions League. We're at home against a team that isn't playing as well as they were at the beginning of the year. Yeah, we'll come out and cruise this. They have to get the mentality right from the very start, or it can be something that could come back to bite them. But I don't see it happening.
I'm a little surprised that people find it a surprise that why can't you take your Premier League form into this stage of the Champions League? And it's relatively simple. Whether we think Bayern are a good team at the moment and having a great season, which they are not.
And we've sat on this desk and talked about how bad they are quite
16 points right. behind Leverkusen, throwing away leads at Heidenheim, going out the Pokal to lower-tier opposition, dropping your two centre-halves and bringing in De Ligt and Eric Dier and all, making all these changes. We can talk about all that, but at the end of the day...
Manager already gone.
What have you, that decision has been made, and we can agree or disagree whether he should have gone at the time and whether that's helped. But people have to understand, even a bad Bayern side is better than the Villas, the Tottenhams, the Newcastles, the West Hams. So when you're dismantling teams in the Champions, in domestic football, and I'm not saying it's easy, it is not, but those teams haven't got the nous even with the likes of Porto. So it is a step up going into the Champions League. Even if you think, oh, Bayern, playing poorly, Porto, we should just beat them. These teams have got a little bit about them. They've got more about them than the bulk of the teams in the Premier League. The bulk of the teams. Well, that's why they're in the Champions League.
And it's a little different style, and it's a little different pace to the game. And there's a reason why you're Bayern Munich, and there's a reason why you're playing at Bayern Munich. And on the day when league isn't going that well, and everything's then focused on a singular match, on a singular competition, it's a quality group of players that aren't playing really well as a team consistently, but on their day, they're as good as anybody in Europe.
Kieran, take us back to your playing days. Was it easy, as Casey says, to compartmentalize what was happening in the Champions League versus the Premier League?
I mean, it depends how well you're doing in each competition. You know, there were some seasons where we would have a great run in the Champions League, but we were doing terrible in the league, and then the other way around. But I think it can be difficult depending on, who you're playing, what the running looks like. But I think for me right now, Mikel's focus is clearly going to be, I mean, I don't know, but I'm going to say it's going to be on the league. The Champions League would be special to win, obviously, but, the league is something that, it's been a long time coming. We've been so close over the last couple of seasons, 7 games away. You're thinking he's got his eyes on the league. So I think, he said in his press conference the other day, he said that the only way to do it is to take it game by game. And, that is the only way to do it at this stage of the season, because the games just come round before you know it. And it almost feels like when you get to this stage of the season, you're at that time where you're so locked in that it doesn't matter what competition it is. You just got to, recover, get your body right, get your mind right, and just get it ready for the next game.
The league's the big one for them, isn't it?
You agree with that?
Yeah, 100%.
Champions League would be history too?
Oh, no. Listen, we're getting greedy here. Arsenal haven't won the Champions League in their history.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
And they haven't won the Premier League for the best part of 20 years or whatever it is. And let's not forget the Liverpool story was 30 years or thereabouts, and how big it was for them after all their success domestically and in Europe over the years. It was such a long wait. You're going head-to-head for 38 games against the best team in Europe and Liverpool, who are having a little stumble as well. But you're basically going head-to-head. It's a three-horse race, and one of the teams that's in there is currently, until they're toppled, is the best team in Europe in Man City. That's where you're going to judge yourself. The league is the big one for them. They were so close last year. They were going so well until things started, some of the dominoes started to fall for them. But this, they manoeuvred themselves after that draw at the Etihad, which was debatable at the time. Was it the right tactics? Was it not? Defensively brilliant. Not great attacking. Was a point good enough at the moment? The answer is yes. And they've manoeuvred themselves into a very, very good position, and it's now up to them.
There's obviously a long way to go, but there's now starting to be a discussion about just how good, kind of historically, this Arsenal team could be if they bring home some of these trophies, right? Kieran, Premier League obviously still out there, Champions League still out there. To be considered among the best ever Arsenal teams, what do they need to do? Do they need to win both to be considered the best ever?
Oof, the best ever. You're asking a lot to top the Invincibles.
Winning the Premier League and winning the Champions League is a lot, isn't it?
It would be an incredible achievement, and you would have to say it's up there, especially with the talent of the other teams now. I don't know. I think definitely the best team of the Emirates era, hands down. Even if they win one, you have to say, and there have been some pretty decent teams in the Emirates era. This team, they have the clearest identity. They managed to keep most players, a lot of players fit, which was a problem over the era of the last 10, 15 years, which I think, makes a big difference. And they have a ruthlessness about them. They've gone into the market. They haven't been shy. They've spent the money. They've gone and got themselves a young manager who's a visionary. I'm going to say he's a visionary. They deserve something this season for sure.
Let's not get carried away.
How realistic do you think it is that they could win both? I mean, they're right there.
I don't know. Let me just climb off all this pie in the sky stuff we're just talking about now.
I mean, they're on the verge of a historic season. You can't deny that.
They have achieved so far this season diddly squat.
Has somebody already
made a thumbnail for our YouTube channel, and they're trying to sort of shoehorn this part of this segment in about how great this Arsenal team could be compared to the rest? Give it time.
They're top of the league, and they're in the semi.
Have you come up with this?
Yeah, close to it.
I tell you what. When you're in the
projection,
this is what happens. This is what happens when people. Let me tell you. This is what happens when people get too much time in their hands. Mm-hmm. Right, sitting there, twiddling your thumbs in your underpants, and thinking, "Oh,
what do you know about my underpants?"
Thankfully, not a lot. they've still got to achieve what they have to achieve. Mm-hmm. This is classic stuff. We're already away comparing them with the Invincibles and all these great teams. They've got to go and do it yet.
Yeah, I think that's the key. I think the key is...
I'm off.
Can they be the best team ever? Yes, they can be by having to win the league and having to win Champions League year. And then after that, continue on. But you can't be... They put themselves in a position, but you can't be in those conversations until you actually do it. And we haven't seen them do it yet. So, but they've put themselves into a point where they could, but it's a huge ask.
Come on.
Trophies. Yeah.
Don't hand the money out when you're gambling on a horse when it's not even jumped the final hurdle. Mm-hmm. Right.
Thank you for that.
10 years on this show in the US. I'm not having this fluff nonsense anymore. Don't even mention Mbappe to me.
I don't know anything about Mbappe. You played against the Invincibles.
Yes.
Yes. So you know that team. Forget the trophy comparison or whatever. Like eyeball test. Is there a comparison?
Well, I mean, I think if we look at the eyeball test from that team and you're looking at Thierry Henry, Bergkamp, Vieira, Petit, the list goes on, right?
I just want to wind them up a little more.
So yes, that was it. I mean, there's a group that had done it. Mm-hmm. World Cup winners, it goes on.
I wish I hadn't come in today.
Yeah, well.
I mean, sincerely wished I hadn't come in today.
Do you know you're not the only one?
Why is that?
Didn't wishes you didn't come in today?
I don't mean, I'll go now. I've always said.
Oh, you always threaten it.
No, but I always say, if somebody says to my ear, you go.
Okay.
It'd be better without you, I'll go.
Were you whispering in his ear?
Stop. He's just rattled off all the names. Oh, my God.
And I didn't even get to the defense.
What are we smoking around here?
That were so consistently good defensively for years.
I can't wait till Arsenal win the league and Champions League.
Well, that's fine. We'll have a...
You're right. Let's never speculate about what might happen in the future on this show.
Oh, let's just have a wild
speculation. We're
going
to have a pretty thin A block then.
Oh, that's wild speculation.
Arsenal, Aston Villa then on Sunday. Manchester
the
City.
The best in the world, Arsenal. Villa.
Burnley. The best ever in the history.
Fuck you.
Saliba or Tony Adams?
Don't you even start, Kieran. Don't you even start. There's another show dedicated to the combined 11 between the
Saliba's
the
a good
sides.
Player, but he really needs to learn the offside trap like Big Tony.
Let's move on. Manchester City at home against Luton Town on Saturday. Their midfielder, Rodri, with some interesting comments. Of course, coming off that thrilling match against Real Madrid in the Champions League. The Spanish midfielder, quote, I do need a rest. Sometimes it is what it is. A rest is something we are planning. Yes. Here's the response from his manager, Pep Guardiola.
You play as I want to play, he's not going to play. It's simple. Another one is going to play. If he's tired, feel exhausted, it can happen. Another player is going to play.
And is it a case of managing all these players in this really tight schedule? Will you have to give Rodri a rest at some point?
Yeah, but not just Rodri. I would love to have rest central defenders, but we don't have. So for friendly games, injured. So we are in a big trouble. So we cannot rest.
So on yesterday's show, Stevie was very mad that Rodri would come out and say this publicly.
Well, I've no idea what Guardiola said. I have to be honest. I mean, he was mumbling. We'll have to get the subtitles back in. Maybe a little bit harsh coming from me. Mm-hmm.
But you can read. If a player doesn't want to play, then he's not going to.
Yeah,
play.
I get the gist of the story. Mm-hmm. I did get the gist of that. Well, at the end of the day, it's horses for courses, isn't it? I mean, I mean, I'm not going to get mad about it. There's loads of things to get mad about, mm-hmm. particularly the previous conversation.
Yes, as we noted.
But look, it's not something.
It's odd for a player at this point
of year
to come out and ask
generally
for
a player would talk about. Yeah. My manager sent to me, Glenn Hoddle sent to me when I was, in my early 20s, three games in a week, even you guys are fit, and I was like, so he's trying to get in my head and I'm saying, oh, I'm okay.
Yeah.
So you'd have never gone to the press and said I need a break.
I'm not going to him and saying, listen, I'm a little bit tired.
No. To me, it was mostly, I came across more managers, hey, you can play, right? You're good. You can get out there. Hey, if we need to, if you're struggling with this, don't worry, I got your back. But I need you to go out there and help us win a game. Rarely have I heard a player publicly say, "Yeah, I think I might need to take a rest here."
What we don't realize, a lot of people, I think, don't maybe they do it. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe I'm doing our viewers a disservice. But I think what a lot of people don't realize is that there are many components in this City side, including the goalkeeper that's been changed recently, and including Erling Haaland, and including Kevin De Bruyne, who they can change, and other players come in, and they solve the puzzle. Mm-hmm. I would argue with a lot of people that Rodri could be the most important one out of them all in that position. Who else is going to come in and do the job? Somebody will come and score goals. Somebody will come and defend. We've seen them. They had no Walker. They've had no Stones. They've had injuries at the back. They've had Haaland out of form a little bit, and they've had him injured. They've had wide players out. They had De Bruyne out for 6 months. I would say if they'd lost Rodri for 6 months, they wouldn't even been in.
Well, they would have had to go in the transfer.
They wouldn't even been in this title race because they had no Phillips to come in. He's on loan, but he wasn't good enough for them. And Kovac is a good player, but he can't do that job. And so there really isn't anybody that can come in and link the back line, midfield and front three like he does. He does it better, I think, than anybody else in European football. So it's understandable. He's tired. But I think from his manager's perspective, there's nobody else. And there is another. Every other position, there are people to fill the holes and do a great job. I don't think there is for Rodri.
All that said, is then Luton Town, who are in a relegation scrap, is this the place to give him the break with Real Madrid's second leg coming up?
Well, but to his point, though, who?
Unless you're a little bit of a curmudgeon like me and say, well, he's asked for a rest now, so he's not getting one. But, you know, that would be...
We've seen that before with managers, for sure.
That would be cutting your nose off to spite your face. Yeah. So he'll make a decision. But there's no doubt Rodri, you know, particularly in the Real Madrid game, away from home, and there's been one or two others recently. I think his standards, which are, by the way, as you probably know from talking about, his standards are so high, they did just drop a little bit. And so maybe he does just need a rest, but that's up to...
Can you afford? I mean, is it going to take in this three-horse race? Are you going to have to win out to win the title? You're obviously, you look at the teams left in the Champions League, where are you going to rest there? Luton Town they've given themselves an opportunity to stay up. Now, would that be a shock result to go away and beat Man City to steal a point? Yes, but how often have you seen a team when a manager makes changes and the team has that boost because they're like, oh, this is what they think of us. Mm. They think they can come here and make wholesale changes and not play who you are calling right now the most important player to Man City. Oh, yeah, and then maybe there's a little something extra, and then they come in and make the surprise. So, and that draw at home against Luton, you lose the Premier League.
So if it's not the weekend, it's Kingsley's win, is it? FA Cup's coming up. It's Chelsea. You're not going to rest there. It's a semi-final. You're not resting in the Champions League. Not happening. Unless you beat somebody, you know, 5-0 in the first leg of the semi-final. Unlikely.
If
you get there.
Yeah,
which
correct.
Is still a big doubt.
So the
opportunities for rest for some of these players that have played a lot is a very narrow window.
Kieran, what do you make of Rodri asking for a rest and then the response from his manager?
I think it's a strange one to do it publicly, but at the end of the day, a player of Rodri's quality, if he's asking for a rest, you have to give it. You have to give it to him. And there's no better time to do it this weekend. No disrespect to Luton, but if ever there was a game where, you know, City didn't need a Rodri, it would be this game. So I think it's good timing that he's asked for a rest at this time. I mean, what is it, over 66 games or something crazy like that hasn't been on the losing side for City. It's crazy. If he's asking for if a player like that is asking for a rest, you have to give it to him. Mm.
Kieran mentioned earlier in the show that he likes Arsenal playing last on the weekends. City play first. Advantage or disadvantage?
I like to get it done and dusted.
You prefer to be first and then watch the others?
Yeah, when we were going head to head in Scotland with Rangers for the title, pretty much all season, and for TV purposes, one would play on a Saturday, one would play on a Sunday, and I much preferred, particularly when it gets to this stage, which is, you know, the white knuckle ride.
Yeah.
The big pressure when the fans start like, no, you're not, you know. Yeah. You're...
What's it like when you play the second game when you're the?
Well, yeah, you just know, you absolutely know where you stand. Now, if they've lost the day before, it's like an even bigger boost.
Right.
But if they just keep putting the pressure on, which good sides do, then you've got to go out the following day and get the job done. And that, you can feel the pressure, and so I always liked to get it out.
Well, I think that's what statistics have shown with penalty competitions as well. Mm. That if you go first now and you score, that pressure of knowing what's already in front of you is greater than the idea of, I know what's already happened. So, yeah, I'm with Craig a little bit. I'd like to put the marker down and then...
Plus you get the rest of the week.
That's what it is. Opens up your Saturday night.
If you're playing on a Sunday, you have to train on a Saturday.
Yeah, train on a Saturday. You got, for sure.
All right, so City home against Luton Town on Saturday. On Sunday, Liverpool home against Crystal Palace. Another huge game as far as the Premier League title race is concerned. Liverpool looking to bounce back from the 3-0 defeat at Anfield against Atalanta in the Europa League. But it wasn't just that game. Really, it's their last five. Just two wins over their last five. Zero clean sheets. Kieran, from an Arsenal perspective, how worried are you that this Liverpool could keep up with and or overtake Arsenal?
Over recent results, I would say not that worried. But they do have... still a world-class team. They have world-class players that can just cause damage at any point. So, you know, there's still a cause for concern. But I would say out of the three, you know, if I had to pick between them and City, obviously I'm going to pick City as someone that I'm more worried about. I just feel that they have dropped a little bit, injuries. You know, they're a little bit showing a little bit too much vulnerabilities at the back. They could be the one to slip out of it, I would think.
Well, Arsenal only have to worry about themselves, really.
Right.
But, you know, from Liverpool's perspective, it's a reboot, isn't it, almost? I mean, the FA Cup game was a disaster for them. It was one of United's better performances of the season by a long shot. But Liverpool were profligate in that game, and they were again in the league game last weekend, when they clearly had, you know, numerous chances and just wasted it and then made mistakes, threw points away there, struggled against Sheffield United at home for long periods but got the win, and then out of nowhere, you know, with something like, I don't know, 65-70% possession at home to Atalanta, got suckered in and just countered on something drastic. So that's a big pickup now for Jurgen Klopp, and anything other than a win at the weekend for them, I think is going to see them just fall out of this title race.
Last week, Palace scored, what, two against City? Could have had a third very easily. You think they could give this Liverpool problems?
I think they could, but I think this is a wake-up call. I think if they ever needed a bad result to help focus themselves in the league, which the results, as you mentioned, have been a little off, this is the result at home that should refocus this side. But you still have to do it. You know, it's one thing, and there's a reason why over the last five, six games, eight games, you said no clean sheet. Why that's happening is there's obviously injuries, fatigue, squad depth, everything that comes along with that at this stage of the season is starting to give Liverpool some problems. And you can't just flip a switch and say, okay, we had a bad result in Europe. Now, league, we're going to be great. We're going to win out seven games and gives ourselves a chance to win the league. So there's going to be a lot of soul searching, and this result will be key to see if they can kind of change that fortune around.
Stevie was very confident on yesterday's show that there would be no adverse effects from the game, Europa League game at Anfield, but I guess we'll have to wait and see.
And is that a surprise? I mean,
well, Stevie sees things through his glasses, but he's also not like the most overly optimistic. He sees it like it usually
is. A little Scottish pessimist.
Yeah, he can be a pessimist at times.
I'm not sure what he sees. I don't know if you can see anything outside those glasses, you know, with the wipers on.
There you go. We'll wait to see what we see on tomorrow's edition of ESPN FC. We'll be, of course, talking about City's game against Luton Town and looking ahead to Arsenal and Liverpool and their respective matches on Sunday.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
I am 1 million percent with Craig. We have laws of the game essentially for two reasons, to protect the safety of the players and to make sure nobody gets an unfair advantage. This is not an issue of safety. This was not an issue of anybody getting an unfair advantage.
Is this schoolboy football we're playing where everybody gets a medal? It's called professional football. You have to be professional. What would you do? What would you do if somebody took a free kick and the goalkeeper went, hold on a minute, I wasn't ready?
I stand with Jan, I stand with Stevie, and I think it's one of the most ridiculous bits of play I've seen, and I think the fact that, you know, it goes against the spirit of the game and so on should really matter, in my opinion, to this instance, because it's a mistake that those guys have made.
But it's also like, do you want to win? Do you want to advance based on this?
I couldn't care less.
Oh, boy, I'm really good because Gabriel picked up the ball.
I couldn't care less.
4 days on and the debate rages.
If you can't put your earpiece in properly, you shouldn't be allowed in the discussion.
Stevie has had earpiece issues for weeks, maybe going on months now, but it's the debate that rages on. Was it a handball or wasn't, Gabriel in the Arsenal-Bayern Munich game in the Champions League? I didn't have this on my bingo card. You and Gab on the same side of an argument. Does that give you more or less confidence?
I don't care. I never look to other people.
No.
To be honest. You've got to think for yourself.
Uh-huh.
Look, I go back to the point, and people will argue about this all day, whether it should and shouldn't. There was no pressure put on Gabriel from the Bayern Munich players whatsoever. If two Bayern Munich players had a run down on, chased him down, and he panicked, I would have said he was forced into that. But he's not. And I just think he's resetting the play here. Nobody moved. Nobody moved from a Bayern Munich perspective. So why would he do it if he wasn't thinking he's just resetting the play? I don't think, for me. It'd have been more controversial, as I said, if he'd given the penalty.
The why is what matters for Craig. Casey, what about you? Penalty or not?
Yeah, I think it's penalty. I mean, it's the rule. The rule is the rule. I don't think you get to just pick and choose what rules you get to abide by and not abide by.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if the one thing I have liked about VAR for the most part, it still has its issues. It's getting more calls right.
Okay.
And to me, that was a by the rule of the law, it was a penalty. And I agree with the spirit. I think it would have been horrible that would have been called. But I think it should have been called.
Kieran, with your Arsenal ways, how do you see it? Should it have been a penalty or not?
It's a pen. It is a pen. Even though I think it would have been a real shame if it would have been called. I mean, look, the games on Tuesday and Wednesday were unbelievable. You know, like, what a tie that we're getting to witness. City, Madrid, 3-3, PSG, Barcelona game was amazing. Arsenal, Bayern game was brilliant. No one wants to see a call given and you know, kind of damage the hype of a game like that. But it's a pen. It is a pen. I think it's one of them. If you're on the opposing side, you're going to be going crazy. And I think people that say that, you know, Tuchel's kind of throwing his toys out of the pram, I don't understand it. I think that that's just naive. And I have to say, I love Raya and Gabriel. I think they've been brilliant. But of course, they've got away with one massively there. It's a lapse in concentration. A lapse in communication, and it's a pen. The whistle's blown, and Raya passes it. Would have been a shame for it to have been called. I'm obviously glad it hasn't, but yeah, I think it's a pen.
Who would have thought Craig Burley, the one defending the spirit of the game?
I wasn't talking about the spirit of the game.
You didn't mention the spirit of the game?
No, I've never, not
the
once.
The spirit of the game has never come out of your mouth?
Not once this week I've mentioned the spirit of the game. But I tell you one way we'll stop talking about this, hopefully, is if Bayern Munich win, then clearly it won't matter. Mm-hmm. And if Arsenal whip them by 3 or 4, then also this will be a moot point, which I very much hope is going to be the case.
But do you think the penalty at the end wasn't called because that wasn't called?
No, I think the penalty at the end wasn't called because it wasn't a penalty.
Another penalty debate.
I don't think that one's a debate.
No, let's leave that for another time, if never. Can I bring this up, Craig? I think this story...
I don't produce the show. You bring up what you want, apart from your dinner.
Wolves manager Gary O'Neill Has been charged by the FA for criticising the officiating after Wolves had this late goal disallowed.
I never discussed this one. I wasn't in last week when this.
Well, this isn't about the goal. This isn't even about the goal.
I know, but it is about the, it's partly about the goal.
Well, sort of. Wolves are going to visit Nottingham Forest on Saturday. O'Neill has until Monday to respond. He is not suspended yet, but it's interesting to note that this happened given the timing. You would know more about this than I. The Masters going on right now. This is a Gary O'Neill quote from back in 2009.
Yep.
I've taken one booking myself on purpose, not over Christmas. I wanted to watch the Masters, the U.S. Masters. It was in April. I was on 9 yellows, and I was definitely getting 10 anyway. We were playing Bolton away or someone. I thought, if I just get a yellow here, I can sit at home next weekend with my mates and watch the Masters. Okay, so this was from a moment back in 2009. The interview was, though, in 2019. What do you make of it?
Well, it's not a very smart thing for
him. You think he's trying to, get out of work this weekend to watch the Masters?
It's not a very smart thing for somebody that wants to go into coaching and managing.
To say,
because he's now got a group of players who he would be doing somersaults down the road on his head if one of his players got booked unnecessarily. Mm. Say it was...
To have the weekend off for whatever reason.
Cunha, João Gomes gets a yellow card and can't play. Gaffer. I tell you what I'd love for one of the Wolves players to do.
Mm.
And got himself a booking and went in and said,
him in Augusta.
I want to watch the Masters on Sunday.
Right.
So I got a booking. He goes absolutely bananas, and then the player produces this article and goes, have a look at this.
Yep. Do what I say, not as I do.
We all discuss these things about Christmas time, and we have a bit of a laugh.
You ever see anything crazy? To get like an extra week of vacation or anybody pull something?
Some of the old Arsenal boys used to be quite renowned for getting from the sort of Tony Adams and Paul Merson era. Christmas time, Tony Adams used to always manage to get some time off at Christmas, allegedly. And we had a player at Chelsea, Gordon Dury, who later went on to play for Tottenham and Rangers, and he was my teammate at Scotland. He always, funny enough, he always seemed to need a hernia operation around about
end of the season?
No, Christmas.
Oh, Christmas. Mm. Oh, okay.
Yeah, and
just a couple weeks.
He was ready by the time the second half of the season started, but just in Christmas.
Well, yeah, but you used to have Christmas in the early, cold, bitter nights in January.
And you would play Boxing Day and the day after.
Yeah.
And so, to have a little break at that time.
Well,
what about you, Casey?
Yeah, I mean, I knew players that some of it was actually by design, because there was maybe a match they wanted him to miss, and they knew they were going to have a suspension coming up. So it's like, hey, make sure you get a yellow card in this match, and then you'll miss this one, and then you'll be ready for this big match. And then I knew also some guys who made sure that's not a fun away trip. And it almost never happens for home matches.
Mm.
It almost seems that, but I never knew anybody to go publicly with saying they did it on purpose.
Kieran, obviously the consummate professional, he would have never done anything like this. Did you know anybody that might have done something similar?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. There was a couple. I'm just deciding in my head now whether I name names or not.
At least give us a story.
I mean, to be honest, Like Gary O'Neill said, there's those players that just are going to get a suspension every season, no matter what. That's just the way they play. So to time it, at the right time, normally at Christmas time, as Craig says, was the popular one. Henry Lansbury, who I played with at Arsenal, who went on to Forest and Aston Villa. He was a culprit. He didn't mind five bookings within the first 3-4 months of a season. So he was definitely one of them. And then there was a couple at West Brom. I feel like there was conversations all the time when someone was on four bookings. It was widely known around the team that the next games this player was definitely going to get a booking.
I don't even remember knowing a lot of times how many bookings I was on.
Really? That seems like something you would have been told before every match. Certainly if you were on the edge, on the cusp.
Yeah, I mean, maybe if it was a big game and there was a... Listen, I think you'd have known if you were playing FA Cup quarter-final, semi-final, and you were going to miss a final.
But as a general rule of thumb, I don't...
Do you get a lot of accumulation suspensions in your day?
No, not really.
Yeah.
No, not really. But maybe I was told and I just can't remember, but I don't remember it affecting me. I remember Stevie Clark, the current Scotland manager, playing in a game, and he was a booking away from missing, I think it was the semi-final of the FA Cup, and basically the manager told, Glenn had told me that I had to make sure I was covering them because he wouldn't be tackling anybody that day. And you have to go through these things, you know. We couldn't leave Stevie out of the team because it was such a big game, but he was then going to miss, I think it was a semi-final, had he got the booking. So it is what it is, but to come out, you might call it honest and say that's a bit strange.
Maybe he was in between jobs or something there in 2019 and...
And thought that was going to help his job.
I don't know. Maybe thought all these years later it wouldn't be a dug up. Plenty more fun stories like that on today's edition of Extra Time. Casey, Craig, and Kieran here to take your questions off social media. As always, you can find it over on our YouTube channel.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Inter Miami out of the CONCACAF Champions Cup at the quarterfinal stage against Rayados out of the Mexican League. Tata Martino getting some criticism. A look at the comparison between him and Phil Neville, Inter Miami's former manager. Kieran, what's going wrong with your former club here?
Well, I mean, that's interesting. I didn't know that until now. But I mean, you know, it's only been 34 games, so I don't want to get too ahead. But I don't think, it may not seem like they've improved under Tata results wise, but they've certainly improved in terms of performances. And it's clear that the results, you know, when Messi's in the team and when he's not, are different. And obviously, he's been missing recently with a hamstring. And it's going to come down to how fit they can keep him, obviously, throughout the season. I don't think Copa America is going to help. That's for sure. Actually, it's going to be a big miss for the team. But they do have more control over games now, in my opinion. They look dangerous. They create more chances. The thing that kills them is individual errors. You know, from the you know, inexperienced players, which comes from lack of experience. They just need to play more. If you know, these young boys, you have a group of players that are ultra experienced and world class, and then you have the other half of the squad, which is young and inexperienced. And obviously, when you have that, it doesn't matter how good, you know, the world class players are. You're going to make mistakes, and the mistakes are just real costly at the moment. They're not kind of, you know, mistakes that happen and you can get away with one. They're big mistakes, and that's what's killing them at the moment.
I mean, let's not make Phil Neville out as the second coming of Trapattoni here.
No, I think this is more about Tata Martino. I mean, obviously Neville was disappointing in his time at Inter Miami,
but I think
you look at Tata Martino with Messi, they're bad without Messi, but they've won three of nine.
Not just Messi.
Talk
about the financial commitment they've made for Tata Martino. I mean, so the big problem that Kieran highlighted was you're not building a team. You're building five or six players that are going to sell some shirts for you and five or six other players that now you have such a massive financial and quality gap. It's not about winning games. It's not. I'm sorry. It's about marketing. And until MLS finds a balance between marketing and winning, there's always going to be that massive gulf in quality.
How big of a deal is the defeat to Rayados going out the way they did in the CONCACAF Champions Cup to the idea of Inter Miami, the project?
I still think there's more balance for the Mexican sides in how they build their squads. And so, yes, it's nice for MLS and for
such an MLS excuse for MLS to fall back on that. We can't spend money because we don't let ourselves spend money. I mean, that's
Messi makes more money than most Mexican teams payroll as an individual. Don't tell me you're not spending money. You're just not spending it across the platform that gives you
by choice
to win a game, because you're doing it on a marketing standpoint.
To your point, it's not about winning.
It's not about winning.
It's about keeping those costs low so the owners will keep investing.
To get back to the graphic, that record is bad.
Mm-hmm.
Because Phil Neville's wouldn't be perceived as a manager that's sought after. Phil Neville did not have Jordi Alba, Sergio Busquets, who's the other one? Luis Suarez, Lionel Messi. And what's a project? What are we building here? Right? Because if you're building something, you're building it on sand. Let me tell you why.
You're building internet hits.
But it's all going to go away, and it's going to go away very soon. Unless there is some sort of formula that Mother Nature hasn't come up with yet that's going to be able to make Luis Suarez run about and lose weight and Lionel Messi get younger and all these players to continue to play and play and play and play for years to come. What are they building? Apart from selling the corporate side of it.
Well, I mean, I think from a sporting perspective, they want to win something now. It's obviously not going to be CONCACAF Champions.
They can't win a game in the league. They can't win a game. I'm telling you now, and I said this the other day on the show, and I was semi-laughed at, the whole Messi thing is going to start to falter.
Mm-hmm.
If it hasn't already done so.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean falter?
Falter.
Well, how do you define that for them?
Falter, it's going to start to fizzle out.
Okay.
If it hasn't already started. The furore, the fanfare, the Messi, it's got no longevity.
Like anything in life, everything fizzles out.
Yeah. Well, but
some things have got longer lasting effects.
Right.
And that's the issue with going down this line of selling this out as this is great.
Would you advise MLS not to take him? I mean,
no, but I'm just saying, there's not just Messi, there's four or five of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
All at the end.
Okay, I'll give
and
you.
And they're not winning games.
I'll
sorry, so they can't even win games here.
Bayern Munich.
You don't think they can win an MLS? You don't think they can win MLS Cup? Really?
They won
League's Cup last year. They walked off.
Well,
the
not
beach,
on not on all. Not on recent form. Not on those numbers you're showing me. There's nothing there at a 38% win ratio that tells me you're going to go.
They've been missing Messi for a lot of those games.
And then Messi's going to be gone all summer. And then he's, like you said, Father Time is undefeated. So that every month, every game, every competition is one more that is going to be difficult for him to come back after Copa America and be like, hey, I'm fresh. Mm. Why was he fresh? Because he had just taken a bunch of time off in the summer before he was eligible to play last year. Okay, I had a little mini vacation and now I'm ready to play.
Before they annoyed him by dragging him off everywhere, which got him off in a bad situation to start with.
Totally. You think about the crazy preseason they had, all the international travel, and then the all the missed games that he's had so far in terms of
MLS regular
season play anyway.
But I'll give you an example, to your point.
Mm-hmm.
Bayern Munich decides to sell Harry Kane. Does nobody care about Bayern Munich anymore? No, Bayern Munich is still a massive juggernaut.
Right.
No, what happens when Messi retires, to Craig's point? What happened to Inter Miami, Kieran, when they got knocked out of the playoffs? You didn't hear another word about MLS, Inter Miami, anything.
As far as the staying power,
season's over.
Just look at what happens when Lionel Messi subs out of the game.
Yeah, correct.
The people at Inter Miami's games leave the stadium. So they're clearly there for them. No one's going to, I think, debate you on that. Kieran, last word on this to you. Is Inter Miami too old to compete even in MLS?
No, I don't think that. No, I don't think so. Because when they first came in, they were putting in performances and getting results when Messi was in the team. The only thing that's going to hamper it is, you know, how long they survive in the Copa America. I mean, he is integral to the team. So it's going to only come down to how fit they can keep him and how long Argentina lasts in the Copa America.
So to Miami's credit, LA Galaxy in the past have shown that you just need to get yourself into a position in the league and be ready for the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So it's not a case what we're talking about right now in the Premier League, where we're talking about three teams might need to win out if they have any chance. Where's the rest going to be? Where's that? Finish in sixth place, make the playoffs, be fresh, have your old guys ready to go, and win some games at that stage.
Long way to go for Inter Miami and Lionel Messi when it comes to the MLS regular season. We'll have plenty more on Messi and Inter Miami on the next edition of Football Americas. Herc and I will be live Monday night here on ESPN Plus, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 5:30 p.m. Pacific.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Built the cartridge.
What were you thinking at that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.
Extra Time starts right now. Hey there, everybody. Welcome into the studios. Kieran, Craig, Casey, and Seb with you for this edition of Extra Time. Natum's interior decorator fires off our first question. Would you guys rather be in a position similar to PSG, where your league title is pretty much wrapped up by now, and only have Champions League games to get up for, or be in a team where you're in two competitions, including the league, where every game has a feel of a must win?
I'm not going to answer that question.
Okay, Casey?
I'll tell you why.
Oh. Okay.
Because I had a very similar question. Mm-hmm. Might have been from the same person, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Maybe not.
Natum's interior decorator is a frequent contributor to Extra.
Correct. The last time I was on the show, I had the very same question. There's not enough attention to detail here. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Not that that would surprise you.
No.
Just say,
no,
for the sake of repeating myself, I shall allow...
That's Craig Burley calling out production.
I personally think... I think you want to be... There needs to be an edge.
So I think
you got to be in a... Maybe not like a 100% title chase, where like we're seeing in the Premier League right now, but where
you can't give Rodri a break.
Correct. Where you still have to make sure you don't get sucked in.
Mm-hmm. Kieran, what do you say? You agree with Casey?
I agree with Casey. I was literally about to say the same thing.
Yeah. Do you agree with me?
Not today.
I'll never agree with you, Burley.
I don't know what I've said. Do you agree with me? Or not? What?
It's a strange island over there. It's you and Gab, and who else was agreeing with you?
Hold on.
Gab was agreeing with you on the penalty thing.
No, I thought Gab thought it was a certain penalty.
No. Gab was with Craig.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
they're usually at odds.
Gab's not a rule.
I have to say, the bulky people, I think, and there was somebody else on the show that...
Jan was very in their camp.
Who else was on with me? I can't remember.
Wasn't Stevie. Stevie was in Jan's camp.
Stevie wasn't on Wednesday when I was on. It was somebody else.
Who was it?
I don't know. No, actually, maybe it wasn't. I don't know.
Kieran, percentage chance Arsenal win Premier League or Champions League. So either one of the two, percentage chance.
50%.
Ooh.
For which?
No, for either.
Which do you think is a greater percentage?
I would say 45% Prem, 5% Champions League.
Okay.
Ooh, okay.
Sorry, what was that?
Significantly better up chance of winning the Premier League than winning the Champions League.
Yeah. You went 45% Champions League, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And what was it?
No.
Okay, give it to us again.
45% Premier League.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So a better chance of winning the Champions League?
No.
only 5% of winning the Champions League.
Oh, wow. Okay. I had somebody in my ear. I didn't hear those numbers.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's because you
5%?
Have, like you said, the Real Madrids and the Bayern Munichs. And
I mean, Real Madrid and City, one of them's gone.
20%.
Well, yeah.
I mean, you don't hate Arsenal's.
I'm not doing percentages.
Okay.
Don's not.
I'd give more than 5% of the Champions League.
We only ever should do percentages in this show.
I think Don's you're right. On. I think you're right.
It's just for, so we can use the art of ridicule.
Yes.
I mean, I'm not going to butter it up any other way and say, oh, I love percentages. I don't. Who gives a stuff? Nobody cares. When Don's on, it's very exciting.
Just to see, like, the wrinkles in his head as he kind of really, as the sweat beads.
If you peeled it back a little bit, somehow you could peel it back and see
the brain. Hamster on the wheel.
What's happening in there?
All right, let's not take shots at people that aren't here. Craig, who had the better finish?
Why not?
Oh, he's not here to defend himself. And we love Don. Don's good people. Who had the better finish, Valverde against City or Rafinha against PSG? Which finish was
Rafinha
better? Rafinha against PSG. The over-the-top left-footed.
Yeah, Valverde.
Yeah, I'm with you.
The one-time strike. Yeah, it was clean.
Oh, it was even better for me than Phil Foden.
Oh, okay. You say the same, Valverde?
It's
the better of the two.
And the timing of it, too.
Yes, yeah. Kieran, three for three.
Yeah.
Amazing. He's got somewhere to go, isn't he? One World Dancers.
Yeah. He's in Miami, so he's got more places to go than we do.
Hey.
Yeah.
How do you know? How do you know? How do you know Casey Kaler and me?
Well, I know Casey. I know Casey's plans later today. They're dinner with me.
Is that something?
So I know he's not in a rush to get to
are
that.
Are we dealing in ages?
Do you want to tell us about
are
your?
Are we dealing in
you
ages?
You want to tell us about your plans later today?
No. Why would I tell you?
Okay,
about
that's
plans?
What I thought.
It's clandestine.
You didn't invite him to dinner with us?
He can always come to dinner.
Yeah.
With
hey, we, but, come yeah. on, get you out of the house.
One word. Responsibilities.
Right.
I have those and bucket loads.
Oh man, you're gonna play that card for a while, I feel like. Kieran's fake plants. Speaking of Kieran, is our next
cheap plants.
Next submission here. What did Kieran and Casey think of Saka's penalty shout against Neuer? Okay, Casey, you go first.
I honestly thought it was a penalty. I mean, when I first saw it, and then what I was expecting to see on the replay, when I knew that it wasn't called, was, you know, a situation where Neuer comes out, kind of stands, and then Saka runs into him. And I know there was a little bit of that, but I thought it was much closer than I thought I was going to see on replay. So I was a little surprised that I was very surprised it wasn't called.
Kieran, agree or disagree with Casey?
I do, but the only thing that makes me think otherwise is he was just in such a good position if he manages to skip past him to just put it in the back of the net. So it's one of them. Like, and I think Saka's, you know, he's an honest player for the most part. You know, he's not one of them players that kind of does those things. So you've got to take that into account as well. I'm gonna say I thought it was a pen. I think
you thought it was a pen.
Yeah.
I tell you, two are pretty much on an island. There's not a lot of people at all thought that was a pen.
What was it about it that told you that it...
Because Saka was running directly across the box and he threw his leg out and kicked Neuer. He initiated the contact.
Yeah, I thought
that was crystal clear in the replay. For me,
I'd need to see it a couple more times, but when I first, I was expecting it to be clearer than it was that I saw.
Let's talk Real Madrid and Manchester City. Kyle Walker and Militao likely to return in the second leg. Which team will be more relieved? Which of those two is a bigger add for the second leg?
Walker.
Yeah?
Yeah, and I'll tell you why. Because Real Madrid have coped admirably without a lot of players. Particularly defensively, goalkeeper.
Yeah, for sure.
They've had too many playing centre-half. They've had Carvajal playing centre-half, Camavinga playing left-back, all these sort of things. And Militao is a great player. But one thing that's going to be big at the Etihad is the counter-attacking football from Real Madrid, particularly away from home. I mean, they were counter-attacking at home. So if you think it was a juicy event at the Bernabeu, it's going to be even more cat and mouse at the Etihad. Because this City defence this season have been a little vulnerable.
Yeah, they haven't been as
or a lot vulnerable and fragile at times against much weaker opposition. So you think about it, Rodrigo, Valverde, Vinicius Jr. How dangerous Bellingham on these late runs. How dangerous this team are going to be in the counter-attack. What do I need?
some coverings.
One of the quickest defenders still
for sure
in world football, and that's Kyle Walker. So for me, Walker would be the huge plus to the way this game is going to ebb and flow.
Can't wait. Should be a great second leg. Don't Hutchison for Casey.
Don't
Hutchison. Who had the worst week in goal? Donnarumma, Kelleher, or Lunin?
Well, it wasn't great goalkeeping across the board.
It hurt you to say that.
I know, it was. I thought the first goal from Kelleher and the first goal from Lunin were the two worst of the...
The Lunin goal feels like...
The free kick.
Yeah.
What about the Christensen goal? I don't know if you remember. Could he have came off?
Yes.
Because he's headed it from 4 or 5
yards.
Yeah,
it could have.
Or is that just a classic case of us outfield players saying, why did the goalie not come for that?
Well, no, I mean, I think you look at goals by an aspect of how should I have saved that? Could I have saved that? And Kelleher on the first goal should have saved it. Lunin on the first goal should have saved it. I think in the other case, yes, he could have come for that. Yes, he could have maybe done something different. But the clear should-haves were the first goal for Lunin and Kelleher.
I suppose there was one incident in the Barcelona game where Donnarumma, and the first half came out a bit hesitant and Lewandowski beat him to it. It was a header.
And on the follow is the goal.
And the follow, maybe he's in his mind. One thing I would say, and they're right, those other mistakes were more apparent. But those two guys are basically backup goalkeepers.
Right.
Although Lunin is the number one now. Yeah. Whereas Donnarumma is seen as
number one and Carragher, one of the best in the world.
Carragher was very critical of Donnarumma on the goal where he tried to play like a 30, 40 yard ball out, and then off of that turnover there was a couple passes and the goal. And now I would say that there's 5-6 goalkeepers in the world that are very, very good with their feet, who will play that ball under pressure, over two defenders, diagonally into a space.
And he's not one of them.
And if he's not one of them, that's okay. But in a situation, in a match of that magnitude, you as the goalkeeper have to recognize, what are my strengths and weaknesses? If that's not my strength, I'm going to clear my lines. I'm going to keep the ball at the back of the net. And in a situation in the league against a lesser opposition, maybe I try to play that ball. But if that's not my strength, don't play it.
Isn't it amazing, us pundits, analysts, over the years, we always manage to swing it all the way back around to the goalies.
Yes. Always, for sure.
It's always like when you're doing it, you go, you're analysing the back four or that line. But
because you know what I was laughing about that? Jamie Carragher was never in a million years going to play that ball as a defender. That wasn't his strength. His strength was one-on-one defending where he would shut down a defender. He wasn't playing a 30-yard ball across the penalty spot to try to pick out a guy on the channel ever.
Now they're asking goalies to do it on the regular.
Well, and they're supposed to then keep the ball at the back of the net as well. So, okay.
That's a wage rise, isn't it, really? To be honest, it's a treble the wages. You're asking me to.
You ask him to be the best player with his feet and the best player with his hands. Okay.
Last one here. Guys, who were your soccer role models as a youth player? Who did you look up to and perhaps model your playing style after? Kieran, why don't you lead us off?
Football role models. I used to love Michael Owen. And I used to love the old Ronaldo. And then what was the other bit?
Well, who did you model your game after?
Mm.
So who was the guy that you looked? Because that you said, okay, there's the guy that I want to say that he's playing the way.
Plus, it's got to be maybe like your position too,
right? Yeah, it has to be pretty position specific.
As a youngster, I was more of a midfielder before I turned kind of 17 when I made my debut. So in the team that time, I used to love Freddy Ljungberg, who was playing. I used to love Hleb. Robert Pires.
Yeah.
Those kind of wide players and midfielders as well, to be honest.
When did you get to Arsenal? Were you in the academy for the Invincibles year?
2004, I joined.
So you were there, or did you come in? In the fall,
kind of like just after.
Yeah, the summer.
But sorry, as I was 14 at the time, right? during that time.
Do you get some,
as an academy player.
Are you got some sort of love affair with the Invincibles today or something? Yeah. I mean, what is it? There's something
he was naming players from that era, and I didn't know exactly when he got to the club.
We had like an elongated segment on the show where you basically blubbered over the Invincible.
Who was your Scottish midfield role model?
This will not surprise you. I didn't really have any role models.
Yeah, no spirit of the game for Craig, okay?
But I did say, no, I'm not really like that. But growing up, one place I used to go, and this is, people would have to look this up if they did, indeed if they were bothered, which if it was me, I wouldn't be. Mm-hmm. I used to go to Ipswich. I like to preempt.
Yeah.
Why would you? It's like leaving comments in the YouTube segment below. Yeah, you got to be really sad, haven't you? Mm-hmm. I mean, you can get some sort of life if you're leaving comments. Anyway.
Totally derailed the story.
Oh, what will I do today? I think I'll go on YouTube and leave some comments. Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. Help me. Help.
People watching this on YouTube.
Yeah.
Leave a comment.
Yeah, do what you want. Leave a comment. Take that time out of your life. You'll never get it back.
Who you looked up to?
I used to look at Ipswich when Sir Bobby Robson was the great manager of this small club who had all these great players, including the late, great friend Paul Mariner.
Legend.
Who was
an amazing guy.
Amazing player for England, for Ipswich, for Arsenal and others. But part of that team, and people won't realise, it's one of the best teams in England with Alan Brazell and Mariner and Terry Butcher and it's unbelievable. But two of the guys I used to look at in midfield were two Dutch guys. Mm-hmm. One went on to Man United, Arnold Muren, and the other one was a Dutch guy called Frans Thijssen. People won't remember him, but they were, and anybody that watches and remembers that era and watched that Ipswich team of the early 80s, they won the UEFA Cup, they almost won the English top league title. They were amazing. I met them when I was a youngster. Ipswich went to play Rangers in the testimonial. My uncle George was playing for Ipswich at the time, George Burley. And Frans Thijssen was there. And I was about 12 or 13, so I was a little bit in awe. And he gave me like this Ipswich tie and stuff. And I was a little bit in awe back then, you know.
Can you imagine?
And I've turned in. And now.
Awestruck.
Now I've turned into some miserable, grumpy.
I'm glad you said it.
Yeah. For me, it was difficult because
I was going to say in the States.
It was tough to find, kind of enough from the sport. But of the people I knew, of kind of the NASL guys that came over, of the different things, probably two guys that I tried to get videos of and different things were Peter Shilton and Pat Jennings. Mm. And
have you ever met Pat Jennings?
Of course, Pat actually. So
I'm just presuming you had. He's got the biggest hands.
And Schultz too.
Pat got the biggest hands in the world.
Really?
Oh, I thought he had.
But I think for his size.
All goalies, look at him.
Yeah, we all have kind of big hands, but he had big hands. Yes, but he's also
a lovely guy. Yeah.
Oh, great. So I met Schultz different times at Millwall, but then obviously when I played for Leicester, and he would always kind of come back to Leicester, being a Leicester person. But Big Pat would come in once a week and still help with the goalkeepers at Spurs when I was there. So got to know Big Pat really well, and so it was kind of cool to go full circle as this American kid trying to get videos where people said, hey, you should watch this guy play and watch the way he does this kind of stuff and watch these videos as a kid, and then get to know both of them pretty well.
Were there any American players or like stars in that NASL that you would have?
No.
Like there was nobody, right?
Well, I mean,
there was, but they like.
I mean, good guy, like the Shep Messings and the guys like that. But when you then were, the idea was to be respected, at that other level, and those were the guys that were the benchmark in those 70s and 80s when I was a kid.
This is getting very nostalgic.
I know. Spirit of the game.
And that's
when, what you love.
That's what.
You don't want us to follow the rules. You want us to follow the spirit of the game.
I never mentioned spirit of the game.
Spirit of the game.
That's not the rules. That's when you get nostalgic, that's when the mask drops. And that's not a good thing.
The mask drops.
Yeah.
The
persona.
And then we just sounds like a good time for me to wrap it up. I think that should do it for this edition of Extra Time. Our thanks to Kieran, Craig, and Casey, and our thanks to you guys as well for sending in some great questions.
Yep. Go on YouTube, leave a comment.
Yes, please. That always helps.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking at that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia, Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.